tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well on this fine day. So I'm just going to get right into it. Okay, so today I'm diving deep into Jillian Michaels' controversial comments about slavery, the backlash and the bigger truth about America's history that often get whitewashed or ignored. Bugger up, this one's going to be great, right? The perspective and unapologetic honesty about slavery and all the great stuff, right? So about a week and a half ago or so, the fitness guru Jillian Michaels was on the Abbott Phillips show, right? And I try to watch her show as much as I can, every chance I get, because I really like watching her show, because I do like the diverse panel that she'll be having on her show, right? She have diverse people with actual different perspective, right? But I'm going to say this, though, man, that to me, when it comes to certain topics and certain issues, right, you shouldn't have people, to me, have on their show who doesn't really study these type of things. Because the only thing it's going to do is make you look bad, the show look bad, and that person look bad, especially when they are coming out with mis and disinformation. You know what I mean? And I got to be honest, I've always been a fan of Jillian Michaels, right? You know what I mean? I've always been a fan of hers, but she's she was off when the type of thing she was saying about slavery in America, right? And it's not only her as a white woman, as a white person, that really think that way. Why do you think when it comes to the history books that they teach us in school how they whitewash all the history that happened, right? Because they don't want to make themselves look that bad, right? You know what I'm saying? Instead of tell the whole damn thing, where the good, the bad, the ugly, this should not matter. Just say it, man. Just say it all. So because if they forget about the history, I'm telling you, history will repeat itself. You understand me? And thank God for today, for the internet today. Because of the internet today, you know what I mean? Even when they're trying to ban these books. Ban books. That's why I'm doing this type of story. So one day later, in the future internet, future years from now, people could probably look back, see this this little podcast, and be like, and learn something from it. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times these history books, they're not going to tell the straight facts. That's why a lot of these people are banning books out there. You know what I mean? Because they don't want their children to know the truth, how evil their damn forefathers were, right? All the evil things that they did to black people in America and across the world. You understand me? How evil they were, you know what I mean? And you got to be really evil to really use the Bible to justify slavery. You know what I mean? All that crap. Crazy to me. So let's get right into it. The real numbers behind slavery, right? Okay, so percentage of slave owners, less than 2% of white Americans own slaves directly. But this ignores the broader economy and systematic benefits. The 2% figure is misleading. Millions profited indirectly from slavery. And we're going to get into that later on, right? Jillian Michaels said 2% of Americans own slaves, right? Which is not entirely correct. But we're going to get into that later. Okay, so percent of white Americans who own slaves. In 1860, the last U.S. census before the Civil War, there were about 8 million white people living in the 15 slave states. Of these, about 385,000 individuals, 4.8%, were recorded as slave owners. If you count households instead of individuals, then about 25% of white households in the South own at least one slave, or one enslaved person. This is where the less than 2% statistics sometimes come from. It looks like it looks at the entire U.S. population. Note though, right? Back then, right? Now all U.S. states owned slaves. Because by 1827, which we're going to get into the 1827, a lot of northern states had banned slavery. So you can't count the northern slave, those slave states, those states that actually stopped slavery, because they weren't doing slavery back then. But we're going to get into all of that. So, right, like I said, it looks like at the entire U.S. population, including northern states, instead of focusing on the South, where slavery was actually concentrated. That framing is misleading because slavery was regional, but systematic, but systemic. Systemic, man. Okay, now, presidents who owned slaves, there were 12 U.S. presidents were slave owners, including Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Jackson, and others, right? Slave owners. So the highest office in the land was deeply complicit in slavery. You know what I mean? So all the presidents back then, that all the 12 U.S. presidents that owned slaves, right? They were all complicit in the crazy laws, right? So they could keep their money flowing. They could keep the money there flowing. You know what I mean? They ran for the highest office, ran for president, they win because they want to keep the money flowing. Congressional slave owners, many congressmen and senators owned slaves or profited from slavery during the first century of U.S. politics. Laws were written by people invested in slavery continuation. Laws were written by people right now. Even some states like Tennessee still have slaves on the books. Slave laws on the books right now. So the richest Americans of the time, wealthy plantation owners, bankers, and industrialists were among the richest citizens, and their fortunes were built on slavery. Wealth distribution was tied to human exploitation, right? So it's all about the damn money. They're going to exploit us, exploit black people just to get richer and richer and richer. Enslaved labor as capital. Enslaved people were considered property worth billions in today's dollars. They were America's single largest financial asset before emancipation. The global context, slavery wasn't unique to America, but U.S. slavery had a racialized performance unlike ancient slavery system. Or let me say that again, right? Slavery was not unique to America, but U.S. slavery had a racialized permanence unlike ancient slavery systems. This distinction matters when examining systemic racism. Families who benefited indirectly, even non-owners, profited by selling food, clothes, and tools to the plantations. An economy built on slavery benefits everyone connected to it. Everyone. The culture of dependence, right? So Southern cultures, politics, and religion justified slavery as necessary. White supremacy was embedded as a norm, not an exception. I mean, white supremacy was very normal back then. The export profits. Cotton exports fueled by slavery accounted for over 50% of U.S. exports before the Civil War. America's rise as a global power was built on slave labor. Jillian Michaels misstep by focusing on percentages. She ignored this wider truth. Her comments distorted historical reality by narrowing the lens, right? So she didn't tell the whole truth. She said partial truth, right? It says the whole things. Okay, so 2% of Americans, right? White Americans own slaves, right? But she's going off the entire population of the United States. The whole entire population, instead of just focusing on just on the South. Okay? Because by then, you know what I mean? By then, a lot of these northern states had outlawed slavery. So her number was very misleading. That's why sometimes when these people come on TV and they say this nonsense, they're not telling the whole damn truth, but instead of just say all this, if you're going to say that 2%, right, say in the South, then I guarantee she probably would have said 2% in the South, right, on slavery, just in the South. Maybe the backlash would not be as bad. You know what I mean? It would not be as bad. But when you say 2%, she's talking about the whole entire population of the United States. And it wasn't so. That was not the case back then. So now, non-slave owners who benefited, right? So just because people didn't own slaves back then, right? A lot of people benefited from slavery. A lot of white people benefited from slavery. Southern whites without slaves, right? Many supported slavery because it upheld white supremacy. Even poor whites gained a social status advantage over black people, slaves. Jobs linked to slavery, right? Jobs linked to slavery. Overseers, sheriffs, slave catchers, all made living off the system. Entire professions existed because of slavery. You know what I mean? Remember the slave patrol? You heard the slave patrol, right? That's how the popo became to be the police officers, right? Because they were slave catchers, right? You know what I mean? That's how they came to be in the United States when it comes to police. Okay, so merchants and traders, non-slave holding merchants, thrive by supplying plantations. Economic networks are tied back to slavery. Bankers, man. Bankers provided loans with enslaved people as collateral. Slavery was embedded in the finance system. Shipping industry, right? Northern shipbuilders profited by transporting cotton and enslaved people. Commerce was inseparable from slavery, right? Commerce, all the grades, all the stuff that even is out today. Think about insurance companies, right? Insurers wrote policies on enslaved people's lives. So, if you have if there's a slave owner and he got the slave right here, he put insurance policy on this damn slave. Just in case if something happened to that slave, they can get paid. Man, I never really thought about that until I was doing the damn research on this damn thing. They literally put insurance policies on their slaves. Wall Street literally insured human bondage, man. The railroads and the canals built with enslaved labor and funded by profits from slavery. Infrastructure expansion was tied to slavery's reach. Textile mills in the North relied on slave-picked cottons. Northern industry wasn't as clean as the textbooks suggest, right? As the damn textbooks, these textbooks that be lying to us in the schools, right? They whitewash the damn textbooks because they want to make themselves look freaking good. The federal government collected taxes and tariffs on slaves, on slavery-based exports. Explanation, right? I mean, the U.S. government itself was profiting. The government, because it was taxing these people, you know what I mean? They were taxing and giving them tariffs and all that stuff. So Michael's blind spot, focusing only on ownership, erases systemic beneficiaries. Benefiting didn't require direct ownership. Benefiting didn't require direct ownership. So Jillian Michaels, you know what I mean? I respect what she has done in the health industry, getting people healthy and all the great stuff, but she needs to stay in the damn lane. Okay? She's not a damn expert. You know what I mean? And I love Abby Phillips, and I'm disappointed. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, I know Abby Phillips didn't anticipate what Jalen Michaels was going to say. She didn't know what Jalen Michaels was going to say, though. But when it comes to certain topics, right? So certain topics, I do believe that these people should have the experts on there that know what the hell they're talking about. So, northern states outlawing slavery but still profiting, right? Gradual abolition. Northern states ended slavery slowly, sometimes keeping enslaved people for decades, even after slavery ended in the north. Because it's all about the damn money. The money and the power. Right? Freedom wasn't immediate. New York didn't fully abolish slavery until 1827. New York abolished slavery. One of the financial capitals profited long after others stopped. Massachusetts declared slavery unconstitutional early, but industries profited from Southern cotton. The ideal versus economic reality. Factories. Northern mills used slave-picked cotton well into the 1800s. Industrialization rested on slavery's backbone. The Wall Street rolls, right? Early financial powerhouse funded slavery. The nation's financial district is built on this legacy. Shipping north, ships carried cotton, sugar, and enslaved people. Maritime profits sustained northern wealth. The taxes and tariffs, federal revenues tied into slavery, right? Federal, right? So guess what? The federal government was making money, millions of dollars of black labor. Government was entangled in slavery profits. So, well, at the time, right, why would they really want to outlaw this stuff? Because they were making a lot of money on slaves. Universities benefiting, right? Ivy League schools took donations from slave trades, man. Ivy League schools that we know today. Higher learning was funded by our oppression. The same damn school, the Harvard, all the Ivy League schools that a lot of these people love to get into, was funded by our damn oppression. Labor divide. White immigrant labor was pitted against enslaved black labor, right? Racism served as a wedge to prevent unity. Let me say that again. White immigrant labor was pitted against enslaved black labor. Please go research the Bacon Rebellion, okay? And it'll break it down how the wealthy elite, white people, set the poor white people and the indentured servants and slaves against each other because they were scared of an uprising. Well, think about it. On this earth, in America, they got more poor people than they got rich people. So imagine if all poor people stick together. Because sometimes I feel, a lot of times it's not about the damn, about like the race and whatever. Sometimes I feel it's about your social class, the social class. Because even a rich black person right now, right? If something were to pop off in America and the rich, they got the means, they're gonna be gone. They're not gonna stick around. They're gonna get their family and be gone. See what I'm saying? So imagine if poor white people and poor black people stick together in America. Imagine. Man. And the thing about it, we don't have to be friends, right? Unless you want to. We don't have to be friends. But imagine if poor black people and poor actors stick together. You see what I'm saying? Imagine how different things would be when it comes to these damn politicians. That's all over there in Washington, D.C., over there in your damn district. So I'm saying? So the Northern hypocrisy, right? Outlawing slavery while profiting from it shows systemic complicity. They were complicit. No region was innocent. None was innocent. Even though they didn't have slaves, right? They still benefit from slave labor. They still benefited from that. So the institutions built by slaves, right? Let's talk about the White House. Constructed in part by enslaved Africans. The symbol of American democracy has slavery in its foundation. The U.S. Capitol, enslaved people laid bricks and built much of it. The nation's law sit atop slave labor. Georgetown University in over there in D.C. sold enslaved people to pay debts. Ooh, can you believe that? They sold enslaved people, man, to pay the debts. What was that? Oh, I'm gonna sell this dude right here. Oh, come here, man. No, hey, right now we're gonna clean him up and we're gonna sell him. See how much money we can get for this guy. You know what I mean? He looked pretty young. He looked pretty fit. I know I could get some good money for this guy. That's what they were thinking back then. Okay. So, education and exploitation intertwined, right? Education and exploitation intertwined. Harvard University benefited from donors tied to slavery. Elite schools funded by human suffering. Yale and Princeton, both linked to donors' investment tied to slavery. Wealth and knowledge financed by oppression. Brown University, founded by slave trading families. Northern Academia is not absolved. Banks, Wachovia, J.P. Morgan, Chase, and others tied to slave financing. U.S. banking history rooted into slavery. U.S. banking, the same bank that we all bank at. A lot of them is rooted into slavery. Insurance, Aetna, still around today. So policies insuring enslaved people. Think about it. Aetna is one of them. Human life reduced to assets on paper, right? Aetna. You know what I'm saying? Like their car insurance or something, or house insurance or whatever. You know what I mean? Crazy to me. The railroads built with enslaved labor and funds from the slave economy. Expansion relied on forced labor. Legacy today. Many institutions still reckoning with their past. Reparations, discussions stem from these truths, right? Now, let's talk about, for a hot second, reparation. One person that I follow on Instagram is Amanda Seals. I like listening to a lot of things that she say, right? And one time, a couple days ago, she was actually talking about reparation, that we need reparation. So I put it in the comments, right? What would reparations look like today? Simple question. Cause I don't know. I'm just curious. I want to know what would reparations look like if they say that they're going to give reparations, right? How would that look like? You know what I mean? If a foreigner that's from a country like Jamaica come to America, you know what I mean? his family, his ancestors were enslaved as well, right? Right. So if they get reparation, should that Jamaican get reparation? Although England owned them, because England owned America at one point. You see what I'm saying? So does he get reparations? If we come here, if two Jamaicans come to America, right, and have kids in America, black kids in America, do those kids get reparations? What would reparations look like? That's all I'm asking, right? When we're talking about reparations, there's a lot of thought into it. See what I'm saying? Will you exclude others? You know what I mean? That's coming to this country, that have been in this country, they might have born here, but they're black, but live in this country and a citizen, but live in this country for 20, 30, 40 years. Do you exclude them or do you include them in reparations as well? So how would that work? You know what I mean? That's all I'm asking. So to move on, Jillian Michaels, her backlash, CNN debate fallout, right? Michaels' comment shocked host Abby Phillips. The exchange went viral instantly. Instantly, the exchange went viral. The public reaction, social media erupted, accusing her of whitewashing history. Critics said she oversimplified systemic racism. And you know, Angela Michael, just like the MAGA people, they always double down. Instead of take ownership, the double down, instead of just take ownership, right, of their mistake. You know what I mean? So Michaels repeated her points on social media. She stood firm instead of apologizing. Celebrities speak out, right? Notable figures blasted her comments as ignorant, and it was very ignorant. Cultural backlash spread beyond politics. Historians respond. Experts highlighted misleading statistics. Academia pushed back hard. Media outlets criticized. Headlines call it revisionist and tone deaf. Coverage amplified outrage. Man. So, for political exploitation, some conservative figures defended her. Her comments became a partisan talking point. The Trump tie. Her defense was tied to Trump's Smithsonian Review. The political context worsened the backlash. The impact on brand. Fitness star turned political figure, risking her damn career. The public figures face consequences when stepping outside expertise. The lesson in responsibility. Public voices must be careful with history. Influence demands accountability, right? So if you are a person as a public figure, man, and you're going to talk about stuff like that, anything, social issues, please do your daggone homework. Don't come with no damn misinformation. Do the reading, you know what I mean? And don't get your information just from one damn source. Get your information from multiple sources so you can come on whatever platform and sound somewhat correct. Because when these people come on these platforms, right? When these people come on these daggone platforms, all they do, a lot of them do, is spread mis- and disinformation. Instead, they just state the facts. See what I'm saying? Instead of they state the facts and just call it a daggone day, man. Right? State the damn facts. Why they have to lie? Just to make others feel better. Why? Just be real. Keep it real. Okay, so Trump's Smithsonian and whitewashing of history. So the directive, right? So Trump ordered a review of Smithsonian exhibit. Claimed goal was balanced. Critics call it a censorship, right? So Trump is targeting the damn Smithsonian stuff, right? That especially stuff with civil rights and slavery exhibits that was scrutinized, right? So Donald Trump is targeting all these black institutions, man. Because just like I said, they want to whitewash history. You see what I'm saying? Why is that spit only done to him? Right? Why are they targeting these damn spit? These damn things. Huh? And I gotta be real with you. Donald Trump is not running the show. I really believe it's a damn Stephen Miller. One of his damn cabinet. I think he's the one that's running the damn show. Because every time I see the damn cabinet member on TV talking nonsense, right? The cabinet member, you know what I'm saying? I ain't lie to you. I really wanted to do goddamn woman, man. He looked like he didn't need damn, a damn chick. He looked too damn uptight. Seriously. Does he got some a damn chick he goes home to? Or can any woman really deal with somebody like him? I don't know. Right? But every time I see that man on TV, he always look all stiff and uptight all the daggone time. Crazy to me. Right? So the claim that Gold was balanced, Chris, right, called it censorship, right? He targeted civil rights and slavery exhibits and scrutinized it, right? Fear of watering down systemic racism. The cultural battle, the debate reflects broader cultural wars. Museum or battleground of truth versus narrative. Funding pressure. Federal funding could influence curation. Money tied to politics of memory. The erasure and attempts, right? Critics argue this whitewashes oppression. Explanation, the truth at risk and political rewriting. The parallels to book bans, right? Like in Florida, banning books connected to larger movement restricting history, right? So the coordinated effort to reshape narrative, right? So why are these people banning books, huh? It seems like all these books that have the black faces on them are talking about black history or anything dealing with blackness. These people want to ban these damn books. Why? Why have the damn books done to them? Why do they hate black people so much? That's what I feel. You know what I mean? Why some of these racist people hate black people so much? What have black people done to these people? No, right? We need to call this shit out, man. Call it out. Why do they hate black folks so much? Why can't black people have their own stuff and leave their things alone? Come on. Let's talk about it. That's the only way we're going to move on. If we don't talk about it, right? You know what I mean? Why are they really banning books? See what I'm saying? And some of these government are capitulating to some of these people when they're talking about banning books. Come on now. Let's get it together. Huh? We need to know the true facts of history. How they treated black people back then. And I don't want to hear this trash where when I've been scrolling online and I see, oh, black people own slaves too. See what I'm saying? We ain't talking about them. We're talking about them people here in America. See what I'm saying? How they kidnap those people, right? And bring them from Africa here to America. Come on, let's talk about it. So some historians speak out, right? Alarm from our academic community. Scholars view this as rewriting fact into fiction. Public relations, pushback from activists and educators. So explanation of resistance forming against censorship. Future implications, if successful, precedent for rewriting history. So not only if we rewrite damn history, not only the white kids, you're not going to learn the true history of their ancestors, right? Black kids, too, you're not going to really learn. And they're going to be ignorant to the fact. Both black kids and the white kids. They're going to be ignorant to the fact. Dangerous roles for truth and democracy. Tied to Michaels, right? Tied to Michaels. Her defense echoes Trump's agenda. both minimize systematic white culpability, right? So they all, so Donald Trump, Jillian Michaels, the minimum, they're trying to minimize this crap that's going on. Okay? Trying to minimize what slavery was like for black people. Imagine the anxiety black folks felt back then. Imagine the mental health issues that they were going through back then. Huh? Imagine that. I'm telling you, man, these type of things we need to discuss. Because if you don't talk about it, history will repeat itself. It could be 100 years from now when we're all dead and gone, right? History could repeat itself. I think that's what they want. In future generations, we're ready to bring back slavery. Because why don't they want the truth to know? Because, you know what I'm saying? A lot of these people wish slavery was still around. They do. And I know right now they want to bring that crap back if they could. Believe that. So the history books, lies, and book bans. So textbooks, distortions, Southern states long softened slavery in books. Workers instead of enslaved people in some texts. Lost cause myth. Civil war reframed as states' rights. A lie embedded in education. Civil war reframed as states' rights. A lie embedded in education, right? The civil war happened because they want to keep slavery, you know what I'm saying? Keep around slavery. That's why the damn civil war happened, because those rich white people, right? Not only the white people that didn't own slaves, right? But the white people that owned slaves, all of them was in complicit. Because if they know slavery ended, a lot of the white people are going to lose their money train. A lot of them are going to lose certain jobs. And they didn't want that stuff to happen to them, right? That's why they fought, right? And thank God at the time the North win. North won back then, despite of how we think, right? You know what I'm saying? But that's crazy to me. I mean, the white folks, right, especially the poor white people, probably at the time was happy that they had probably a good paying job back then, right? And they were upset because they know they're going to lose their money and they got to find a new line of profession, some of them, right? So, a lie embedded in education, right? So, Jim Crow, silence, schools underplayed, segregation, brutality. Selective memory fuels ignorance, man. Selective memory fuels ignorance. The civil rights sanitization. Leaders portrayed as passive, not radical. A lot of leaders portrayed, like, even some of these black leaders too, man. That's a damn shame. A lot of them are passive instead of be radical, right? And fight for your goddamn rights. All right? So resistance, history downplayed. Book bans rising. Recent pushes to ban critical race theory texts. Efforts to silence uncomfortable truth. Banning black authors. Works by Baldwin, Morrison, and others targeted. Erasure of voices of truth. Controlling memory. Who controls history controls the future. You see that? Like I said earlier, I believe some of these people want slavery to come back. So guess what? If they're able to control the narrative, they could bring it them back and bring it back in the future. In a certain way. Power in shaping narratives. Impact on students. Young people deprived of real history. I mean, to all young people out there, whatever your teacher damn teaches you, go and research on your own too, man. Don't believe every damn thing. Research things on your own. We have the internet today. You can Google a lot of stuff. And don't be ashamed or don't be afraid to question your damn teacher, your professor, whatever. Don't be afraid to question them if they're saying something that's unfactual, infactual, whatever. They're not factual. See what I'm saying? All right? So ignorance perpetrates cycles of racism. Provincial politics. Groups lobbying for bans reflecting partisan divides. History teaching politicized like never before. Connection today to today. Whitewashing past directly impacts present politics. Whitewashing past directly impacts present politics. Understanding truth is essential for justice, man. You have to know the truth, know what's going on. You have to understand what's going on or what had happened too. The bigger picture, responsibility and truth. So, celebrity influence, how comments like Marcus shape public opinion, right? Because even what she said, there are a lot of people that really believe her. Why? Some white people, black people that really believe her. You know what I mean? The misinformation spreads faster when celebrity speaks. When some of these people have a voice, have a damn platform, they can say anything. And a lot of people is gonna believe what they say. Some a lot of people, man, instead they do their homework, they're gonna take these people words as God. A lot of them do that. You know what I'm saying? Celebrity who spoke out against Jillian Michaels, right? So I look into whether any celebrities publicly defended Jillian Michaels' remarks. But I wasn't able to find any. The only support she seems to have received comes from political or social media circles, mainly among conservative or MAGA leaning voices. So far, no notable celebrity has stepped forward in her defense. So Rachel True, actress, took the ax and criticized the decision to platform Michaels, right? Which she have every right. So this is what she said. This is what happens when you elevate a run-of-the-mill gym trainer to a political pundit, right? I'll read that again. This is what happens when you elevate a run-of-the-mill gym trainer to political pundit. You know what I mean? That's what I said, man. Abby Phillips, I love her show. I really do. I'm always supportive because she's one of the few black people that's on late night TV. Her and Laura Coates, right? Are the few black people that's on late night TV, right? So me, as a person that like watching the news, I like to support my black people that's on TV like that. You know what I mean? I'm gonna continue to support. But in her defense, in Aberfeld's defense, a few days later, right, she came out and, you know what I'm saying, I think she really talk about it, went against that though, you know what I mean? And all the things. It just, you know what I'm saying, those type of people though, I don't believe they should be in platform. If they don't know nothing about politics, that's not what they do. See what I'm saying? Those type of people shouldn't come on these platforms where millions of people are watching at all. They should not come on the platform where millions of people are watching. Because a lot of these people, man, especially these MAGA people, I'm telling you right now, a lot of these MAGA people, a lot of them always spread misinformation. They don't say the whole damn truth, man. They don't. They're going to say half the truth just to prove some kind of point, whatever point they're trying to make, right? All that crap. So, now, Ola Oju-Umi. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Ola Oju-Umi, disability advocate, also reacted sharply. This is why CNN, and this is what he said, and I quote, "This is why CNN's ratings are in the tank. Jillian Michaels is a fitness trainer, not a historian. Why is she on a cable news panel being treated as a subject matter expert on the institution of slavery? Stop giving unqualified white women platform to spread misinformation. Stop giving unqualified white women platforms to spread misinformation." Nicole Anna Jones, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist and creator of the 1690 Project, right? I listened to that on Audible, the 1619 Project. It's really, really good. You're learning a lot, right? I never knew how they brought the first slave right here in Virginia. I mean, in Virginia. You know what I mean? The first slave ship landed in Virginia in 1619. So it directly challenged Michael's comments, underscoring their historical inaccuracy, right? So I watched the YouTube, the video that she made, right? And she came up with a lot of facts on how slavery happened. She came up with a lot of safe facts. Roland Martin, journalist and commentator, responded forcefully with a video called Rolling Blisters, right? Jillian Michaels, racist slavery lies. Racist slavery lies, right? So Roland Martin is another one, you know what I mean? That is going to speak the facts. So, let's talk about it, right? The danger of simplification and oversimplifying slavery hides systematic truths, right? Sound bites don't equal history. Because sometimes people just say the things just for them sound bites, man. Sometimes that's what they do. Say a thing just to get clicks here and there, knowing the line of the ass. Responsibility of media, right? So all media networks must push back on revisionism, right? Journalism should challenge misinformation. And I'm telling you right now, it really frustrates me, man, when I watch the damn news. It doesn't matter if it's Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, all that. If they have like-minded people on their shows, they don't push back at all, very rarely. They don't really push back. If somebody from the opposite party comes on this show or whatever, they're going to push back quick. And I don't think that's right, man. I always push back because people need to know what's going on. Push back on the shit. If you got to call them a liar to the damn face, call them a damn liar. Say, stop lying, man. Why ain't lying about this crap? Hear the facts. Trust me. Hey, if I know somebody lying, I'm saying, sir, you're freaking lying. Stop lying to me. See what I'm saying? Tell them to keep it real. All right? So role of historians, right? Experts vital in public discourse. Truth needs defenders. Systematic legacy. Slavery effects remain in wealth gaps today. Think about it, right? The wealth gap amongst the white elite versus the black people. All the way down here. See what I'm saying? All because of all the systematic things that are put into play. So historical, slavery effects remain in wealth gap today. Historical roots of inequality are alive now. Educational duty. Schools must teach the whole truth, man. Regardless how dark it is. They need to teach you stuff so the kids will know. Kids deserve reality, not propaganda. Why backlash matters? Because public resistance keeps truth alive. Silence allows revisionism to spread. Public conversation, podcasts, blogs, and grassroots voice matter. Independent media fills the truth gap. Because they do have some independent media, like the Young Turks, right? That I like to watch too. That going to speak the truth, right? Not all independent media. Some of them be talking trash. You know what I'm saying? Lying all their ass. Global comparison. Other countries face their histories. Germany, South Africa. The U.S. can learn from the truth and reconciliation models. The common ground goal, right? Create a space for truth, honesty, and unity. Only by facing history can we move forward together. Think about it, right? Only by facing history we can move forward together. Why do we have to lie to people? Doesn't make other people feel better. I don't think it's right. It's not good at all. You know what I mean? We need to keep it real with each other. Let everybody know your black counterparts, your white counterparts. Let them know, hey, you know what I'm saying? that's what happened, man. And we're not gonna want to repeat this, repeat what happened in the past. Because what happened in the past was not right. You know what I mean? See what I'm saying? That's the type of thing we need to teach our children. And your parents, especially your black parents out there, you need to be talking to these kids and pick up a damn book, read a book, or learn something about some kind of history and talk to your children. Talk to them so they will know, you know what I'm saying, about their past. For real. You know, I remember when I was young, 17 years old, 16, 17, I read the book Roots, right? It was by Alice Haley. I saw the movie before when I was younger, but I read the book also when I was 17 years old, 16 or 17, man. And the book was like almost 800 pages, but I read it as a teenager, as a young teenager. See what I'm saying? Right? So just teach your kids, man, because this school is not going to teach them. And your children deserve to know. Your grandkids deserve to know. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is my time, right? Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.